There was a younger girl who was at the meal with us, and we were reflecting a little bit. It was Shabbos Chazon. We were trying to, of course it was Shabbos, but to be in the proper mood. And this girl kind of piped up and said, "I don't understand, why don't you just build it again? You know, if it was destroyed, just kind of, you know the dimensions. You have material. People are capable in construction. Look around the country. Obviously, politically, it would be a very big challenge. Putting that piece aside, just rebuild it again. The concept is taking away the entire relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. As if this was destruction or its existence is merely just that it is there. We know, obviously, as we're reading about, that that's not what it was about. The structure you can make again. Anyone here who's seen the 770 in Chabad across the world, you find similar structures. People have them to replicate that. You could replicate a building. Relationship is much deeper than that. This is a very unique kina, number 26, where we're describing what you'd imagine is like the best plan for our salvation. It's our Hall of Famers of Jewish history to come beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf. We just read about people who were killed. We even know that Gedolim, when they leave the world, they're still Melitz Yosher for us. They're in Shemayim now with being able to hopefully flex their spiritual muscle to allow us to be heard from a closer place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'd imagine that would be like the easiest thing for us. Picture your parent is the principal of the school, and you're applying to get in. Or you got a little bit of trouble. You're hoping to be able to stay in the school, not be kicked out, but your father's a principal. You'd imagine he'd do everything in his power to keep you around, and if he could do so without hearing from the other teachers and other parents, he certainly would do so. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the judge and the jury. He has Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe in Shemayim. And Yirmiyahu comes and tells them, "The Avos, I want you to go and plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael." It should be the easiest thing. It should be a walk in the park. And yet, every rationale they bring down, Hashem responds. And they pull every stop. Avraham Avinu, he's Za'ak. He tries that method of screaming, of shouting. But he's shouted down. Yitzchak is Savach. He screams. But he's also told it's not going to work. Yaakov, Dma'os, he cries. Again, Hashem does not seem to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu, Patz, Ro'eh, Ne'eman, he utters the statements he feels will turn the tide to no avail. And who saves the day in the end? So if you look at our kina, it's a little different than the Medrash. In the Medrash that we have in Eicha, it describes that the person who saved the day was Rachel Imenu. That's who saves the day. And she gives a rationale, Mesiris Nefesh, that you couldn't imagine. Just put it in perspective for a quick second. Rachel Imenu was slotted to marry Yaakov. And her sister Leah, was slotted to marry Esav. We know already the story, how it turns out, how Laban was going to swap the two wives, how Rachel and Yaakov had planned for this moment in time. They would outsmart the sneaky Laban. When push came to shove, Rachel gave up her husband. Did it ever dawn on you that there's only one brother left that she would marry? There was Esav left for her. In the end, we know, of course, she also married Yaakov. But was it a possibility that crossed her mind that she'd now be left with the monster Esav as her husband? It had to have been. It had to have been. And yet, the Medrash in Eicha describes that she gave everything over to her sister. Everything. She told her every sign there was to know, giving up her destiny. That is something Hashem hears. That's what the Medrash in Eicha brings down, but it doesn't say it over here. In our version of this back and forth, Rachel is not the only player who ends up doing the job. Kol b'chi Leah, Misofefes alvaveh. The sound of Leah's wail pounds upon her heart. Rachel achusam vakal baneh. Rachel, her sister, crying over her children. Zilpa. Makah paneh bilha mekonenes b'shtei adeh. Bilha and Zilpa? What in the world is going on over here? First of all, where is Sarah and Rivka if we're going to go through all the women in our lives? How come they didn't make an appearance in this? The Medrash and Arkina are night and day in how it ends. Not only that, but we don't even see what they're saying. Where's Rachel explaining? I was moser myself and my husband for you, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Judaism, for life. Where's that taina? Where's that claim? There's no claim she makes. I heard Torsi say many years ago that this is not a time to make claims. When you're in a moment of tragedy, you don't say, how can you? How can you do this to me? After all, I A, B, and C. I did X, Y, and Z. It's not the time for that. You don't ask, how can you? You just ask, just please. I'm asking for a favor. You don't owe me anything. I cannot give you rationale to allow you, to explain to you why I deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But I'm begging you, afal pichein, even though I don't deserve it, to come and protect us anyways. And that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in and says, I hear that. I hear that. We can't look ourselves in the mirror and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we deserve it. How could this happen to me? To us? We're not in a position to say that. We are in a position to say, I'm asking you as a parent. As a child asks a parent, just let me still be close to you. Not because, just because I'm your child, then you're my parent. That's it. In this kina on Tisha B'Av, we don't give rationale. Someone sitting shiva, you don't try to explain things to them. You're just saying, I'm here. I'm here for you. How come Sarah and Rivka didn't make it and Bilha and Zilpa did? So I'm going to share with you a very important idea that I think is crucial for Avodah Hashem in general and certainly for today. Very often we look at ourselves. There are gedolim that are in the world. Little old me. My role really doesn't belong. I can't scream my voice. I can't shout as loud as they can as far as my mitzvahs go and my actions go. I saw a shot one time in a sefer called Tichos Bodes Hashem, or of Meizlish. It has to do with Rosh Hashanah, but it's the same concept over here as well. Rosh Hashanah is a time when you make a HaKadosh Baruch Hu a melech over you. You would imagine the people who are the most pious in the world are the ones who should be Mamlech Hashem over them, not the people who are furthest from Hashem. But he says it's the opposite. I'll give you a mushel. He doesn't give his mushel, but I'll give the mushel. Imagine you are a star basketball player. And you hit the game-winning shot in the gym, right outside the gym. You go to a pizza store, you're wearing your jersey still, and someone says to you, hey, you hit that shot. Was that you? You still have the same jersey on. It happened about a half hour ago. You're like, yeah, it was me. You feel good about yourself. But imagine if 20 years later, you're with your wife on a vacation in Venice. Some guy sees you there. Are you that guy who hit that shot 20 years ago? Was that you? You're like, honey, you're my new best friend. Yeah, that was me. Tell my wife, I told her all the time the story. Tell her about it. You're so far removed from the moment in time, and someone picks you out of a crowd that's so distant from where you were at, and he remembers who you were 20 years ago, you feel like $1 million. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves so much when someone is so far. Aren't you the creator of the world? The one who's in the base of Medrash all the time, who's learning, who's davening so beautifully, of course he could pick Kadosh Baruch Hu out of a crowd like that. Of course Sar and Rivka could pick Kadosh Baruch Hu out of a crowd, and they could join this whole storyline. But when you get a Bilha and a Zilpa, they're kind of like afterthoughts of the whole story. Which was even which maidservant at the end of the day? We don't remember even. They just happened to have, they were there, they did the job. But when they're part of the process, it matters as much as when Rachel and Leah are part of the process. So when you're sitting again, as I mentioned earlier on, and you're going to be doing our kinos today and doing our davening by the kotel later on, those who can make it. And in general in life, And you feel like you're disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just so you understand that your reaction, your tefillos, your learning mean more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than anything else. Because that's a guy who's 20 years out of the loop. You're not close to that person anymore. He's very distant from that person. And that person still takes a time out to point a finger and say, "You are my God. I recognize you. Bring me back." Nothing speaks louder than that. So as we read this kina and realize that all of our protection we have doesn't work sometimes. The Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov over the world, their claims are dismissed. So we stop making claims. We don't make a claim, "I have no tainas on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want you back. I want you to have me back." And who belongs in that discussion? Not only the Rav Shechters, the Rav Torskis, and the Rav Sobolevskis, but every one of us in this room has the right, not only the right, but the obligation to pull our weight and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to be back once again with him at the Beis HaMikdash. As below, Kirmiyahu, Kirmiyahu,